Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance.
The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera.
Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, at the golf underscore doctor.
Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio. It's our very own scratch golfer, sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
I know you all are disappointed, but good morning. This is Charlie Epps, not John Granato. John is on vacation with his beautiful family. So we always have Bill Harmon, who we feature every week on our show in California, but we have the distinct pleasure this morning of having Bill Harmon in studio. Welcome, Mr. Harmon.
Good morning there, Charlie. It's wonderful to be in studio and looking forward to the show.
I know you don't pay attention to golf, but let's just talk about what's going on in the world of golf before we get into, you know, what we think about the game. And Jason Day, excuse me, is at the leaderboard at Firestone.
Yeah, let me take over here.
Thank you very much. Charlie's
already choking. You can see he can't do John Granato's job right away. Jason Day leading. I find it interesting, Charlie. A lot of players don't really want to say they want to be number one. They don't really want the heat. They don't want everything that goes with it. Jason Day's been saying it from day one, really, in his career, that this is what he wants. I was reading earlier in the week that he senses that a lot of people feel, or a lot of players, let down a little bit in these world events because there's no cut. And it's kind of free money. And in his mind, that gives him an edge because he's not letting down on anything, because not only does he is the number one player in the world, he wants to increase the margin. And I wonder what effect Tiger's had on him in that regard, because Tiger, when he has a lead, wants to increase a lead. If Tiger's number one in the world, he wants to be number one by more. All the accounts say that Tiger and Jason Day converse quite a bit. And Jason Day is sounding more and more like a young Tiger Woods. He's embraced being number one. He wants the heat. And if you look at the guys that he beats pretty regularly now, Rory and Jordan Spieth and some pretty good young players who also want to be number one. But right now, he's the guy.
He reminds me a lot of Greg Norman. Greg Norman was over-aggressive. I mean, he's stated that sometimes he
full swinger.
Yeah. So and he had a lot of speed. But you're right. He has embraced the title of being number one, and he's not afraid of it. So we'll talk a little more about him and his coach, caddy, and mentor later in the show. We have a second tournament going on out in the West Coast, the Barracuda Championship, which has a different format. It's the Stableford type of format where you don't have to complete the hole if you make more than a double bogey. You know, it's not metal play.
Interesting format.
But it keeps the guys interested. And Greg Chalmers, who is Tom Bien, my Spanish is coming out. He is Australian.
Yes, he is.
And he's leading there. But Gary Woodland, who is really a wonderful kid, and I know you know him. He has worked with your brother, correct?
Yeah, he's back with Butch, actually.
He's in second place. And Martin Laird, Colt Knowles, who I just find fascinating. He's a Texan, won the U.S. Amateur. If you saw him in a lineup, you wouldn't think an athlete at all, but he can play the game of golf.
In the last month or so, he's probably played
top 10 golf.
Yes, he has.
And then the French Open, which you are watching here in studio, Roy started the day in first place and quickly took care of that. He double bogeyed number one. And the gentleman from the Pacific Rim.
Yeah, there's a young Chinese player, Wang, I believe his name is. He's 19 years old, and he's leading this championship. But, you know, Charlie, I still think maybe the most compelling player in the sport these days is Rory McIlroy, because it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about him, you know, breaking Nicklaus's majors record, which is always silly to say, quite frankly. But he's kind of hit a little bit of a speed bump here. Enormous talent. He's gotten slapped in the face a little bit by Jordan and Jason Day and the King of the Hill. It looks to me like he's really trying hard, maybe too hard, but it looks like to me he's trying to find his way back and he's struggling a little bit.
Well, that injury.
Yeah, the knee injury.
Really yeah. set him back. And once a player has an injury like that, is sidelined for 2 or 3 months, you get back and you see Jason Day and then you see Jordan Spieth doing what he did and they're leaving him behind. And I think he's hurt his game with all this working out business, with weightlifting and so on and so forth. That's another topic. And another topic dear to your heart is the LPGA. And they're playing up in Portland, the home of Nike. And Suzanne Pedersen, is leading Brooke Henderson, who is the young Canadian lady that has really taken the LPGA by the storm.
Boy, the teenagers on the LPGA Tour are so good. You know, I'm a good friend with 87-year-old Bob Golby, who has seen every good player from Sarazen to Tiger Woods, and he told me recently, in all the years he's watched golf, he's never seen anybody hit irons closer to the hole day in and day out than Lydia Ko.
Yes.
So when you get a guy who's seen that much golf, say he's never seen any player in the history of his career, which is pretty long at 87, that she might be the most precise iron player that he's ever seen. So the quality of their game is really, really something.
Now, I got a question for you we can answer later in the show, but I try to go out and swing like Lydia Ko, and I can't make the golf ball go half the distance that she does. Why?
Because she's better than you.
Brutally honest.
That's why.
She's brutally
better than
honest.
Me too, but it does make you almost want to try to swing that slow, but when you do it, you just don't seem to have the jets that you normally have. But I think everything she does is that way. She talks slow. She walks slow. I think she has maybe the best nervous system in golf. I think some people are born, Charlie, with better nerves than other people, and I think she's born with nerves that are just incredible. She never gets nervous.
Well, I know at the age of 72, my nerves are shot.
Yeah, mine aren't very good either. I was actually nervous coming on the show today.
Why?
No, I wasn't. You kidding me? Because I knew you'd be choking in the opening, and you did.
I just got a little phlegm in my throat.
There you go. There you go.
That happens. But we're going to talk a lot of golf this morning with Bill Harmon here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Live from Houston, Texas, in Gao Communications. And, Bill, this is quite a pretty studio, don't you think?
Boy, this is a lot nicer than sitting at home and on my cell phone talking to you, Charlie.
And we're brought to you by Insperity, a company that really inspires business performance. And if you really want some help moving your small business forward, give Insperity a call or log on to Insperity.com. Insperity is 800-465-3800. They have experts in every field, and they will help you with all the government regulations also, and this Medicare stuff and everything that pertains to running a business. They will help you improve your bottom line for sure. We're also always promoting the Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am down in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, December 5th through the 12th, beautiful pro-am, 72 holes. We have a lot of good information today. And, Bill, okay, we're going to talk about Rory. We're going to talk about, the great players and how they get great. But what's happened to Michelle Wee?
Missing in action. She's not playing in the Portland tournament, which is odd because that's where Nike is headquartered. So
and they have sponsored her since day one.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's injured or something. But she's been playing very poorly. She doesn't make any cuts. She and Yanni Singh really have just fallen off the map. Two of the most gifted, talented golfers I've ever seen can't even make a cut anymore. And that just goes to show you how fluid and difficult golf is, Charlie.
That is Bill Harmon. I am Charlie Epps. We're going to go ahead and break right now because we're going to sell some product. But we got another 30 seconds that I got to continue doing this. Hey, David, thanks a lot.
I can handle the 30 seconds.
Go right ahead.
We'll go, and the 30 seconds is our listeners don't understand. Even though you're a great player, once you lose your confidence, there is no law saying you'll ever get it back. ever.
Who would be an example that lost it and came back?
Steve Stricker, Scott Verplank, guys like that have picked themselves up literally from the bottom and made themselves good players again.
All right, that's the music. We're going to break right now. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour,
featuring Bill Harmon
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
John Granato is on a family vacation. I'm in substituting for John. I'm doing such a good job. My friend Bill Harmon's in studio giving me a lot of positive support here, making fun of me, but that's okay. But you know, one of the activities in golf is in Europe, in France, the 100th playing of the French Open, the site where the Ryder Cup will be played in a couple of years. But, Bill, we have a situation where the European Tour has made the French Open, you know, to get the players to play there, double points for the Ryder Cup, very, very important. This morning, Rory McIlroy is leading the tournament, and all of a sudden, within seven or eight holes, what's going on?
Well, like I said at the break, Rory is one of the most compelling, if not the most compelling figure in golf today, because he's so good. When he won his majors, he'd blow people off the course the way Tiger did. And he did it with kind of a carefree ease and a beautiful style and a lot of a swashbuckling style. And as you alluded to the last segment, Charlie hurt his knee. Golf is a difficult game to play with an injury. You start making compensations. He now, watching him on TV, he's rehearsing a new takeaway. We all know that he hasn't figured out whether he wants to go left-hand low. And I think what happens to all players, this isn't a this is an observation, not a criticism. Every great player at some point in their career goes through periods of self-doubt where they wonder where something was once easy for them, now it's not easy. It's work, and they got to work through it. I'm a big Rory fan, and I'm going to assume he will work through it. But what is interesting to me is that I often wonder about, with all the knowledge that we have and all the information that we have as teachers, Charlie, how do we leave these great players alone and not always have to change? See, I think they can get better with experience and self-knowledge. It's not always their swing. I'm getting to the point where I don't think the swing is what wins golf tournaments. I think the person wins golf tournaments. And when you have a guy that's really good and has his own style and his own swing and it works under pressure, you start tinkering with that swing. My dad used to say, you can't teach talent, but you can mess it up. And we were just watching Rory rehearse on his waggle, a totally different waggle than we've ever seen him use. And it's mechanical and it's wooden. Not saying what they're working on is wrong, but it doesn't look like Rory.
Come on, you know it's wrong.
I wouldn't say it's wrong because I don't know what they're working on. What I'm saying is it didn't look like him.
Well, you know, the golf swing is a reaction. You see your target, you get a number, and you go. All of a sudden, he's pulling his club back with thoughts rather than just letting the swing start without any sense of hurry, without any conscious thought, but now it's conscious.
And there also was a time, I think, where his short game saved him. And his short game does not appear to be what it used to be. And, you know, a young man his age going through the, do I go left-hand low, cross-handed, do I putt this way, putt that way? All of those techniques, by the way, are fine. But to me, that shows that there's doubt there. And once again, I'm a huge fan of Rory. I don't doubt for a second that he'll get it back. But until he gets it back, every week just adds a little bit, another layer of scar tissue.
Yep.
Jason Day, if Jason Day wins this tournament, he distanced himself even more from Rory and Jordan Spieth. And Jason Day seems to be shooting on all cylinders. Jordan's trying to find his swing, it looks a little bit like. Rory's trying to find himself a little. So interesting in the last 12 months how Jason Day separated himself from these two really, really, really good players.
Now let's talk about something really important, my swing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we have a lot of people that listen to us, and you know, sometimes, you know, you just completely go, I've got enough information on what to do. I can't execute.
Yeah.
My nerves are shot.
Well, that happens to us.
Isn't that interesting?
I think it happens to everybody. I think what once comes easy for us, when it becomes difficult, it's almost like we don't know how to react because, and I think we see it a lot with the yips and putting and chipping now. What used to be an elementary shot, all of a sudden you start worrying about impact and the worry sets in. And when fear sets in, the game's over, in my
opinion. I was playing my front game out at Hearthstone yesterday with my friends. We're playing a couple-dollar game. I got 165 over a little creek, and I leave it 70 yards short of the creek. I hit so far behind the ball, and I was trying to hit a good shot. Why does that happen?
I remember years ago, my dad hit a shot like that, and he was a wonderful player, obviously. He'd won the Masters, and he hit a shot just so bad it was unreal, and he said to no one in particular, not a jury in the world will let me go free on that swing. And I don't think a jury in the world will let you go free, but
No. That's
golf. You have to prove yourself every swing, and if you can't organize your thoughts, and that's kind of what we're talking about with Rory, is he organized? Is he convinced that what he's doing is correct? And he won't be convinced of that until he sees results.
I've got too many conscious thoughts in my golf swing, why I'm doing it.
Yeah. If you got up and hit that shot like you were in a driving contest and didn't care where it went, you were just going to try to hit it as far as you could hit it, you couldn't hit that shot. You could not have hit that shot.
I'm going to have to try that so I can get my money back from the guys out at Hearthstone.
I think so.
The guy I was playing with was laughing at me.
And I'll take 10% of the action.
I was having a pity party.
We all
do that. So Roy's got his work cut out. And before we go, he hurt his ankle, not his knee.
Not his knee,
which
ankle.
Is actually better than a knee injury.
I mean, you
look at Ernie Els when he hurt his knee for about 3 years, he had a hard time coming back.
Yes,
so
he
golf
did.
is once again.
Well, look at Tiger.
It messes with your
Tiger knees back, and you know he's just pulled out of the Open Championship. I hope he takes the rest of the year off and figures this out. And he seems to. If you listen to him last week at Congressional on TV, he said, I got to do it different than I used to do it. I used to come back too soon, and I still won majors. He always threw that in there, which he did, of course, that way. But I would love to see him really, really get healthy, wait a year. Must be driving him nuts to seeing these guys playing the way they're playing. And I would love to see Tiger get back into the fray just one more time. Just,
well, you made mention during the break that, you know, the guys that have lost it and have come back, and after the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about how Tiger can come back from where he is now. And one good example is Steve Stricker, right?
Steve Stricker, Scott Verplank, Jay Haas had a huge resurgence. In fact, Tiger mentioned Jay last week on TV, how good Jay played at age 50, Ryder Cup player, President's Cup player. And I think Tiger was basically saying, if a guy like Jay can do it, why can't I do it? And I think he's right about that.
And you know how he did it.
I do know how he did it.
Are you going to give up that secret?
I will in our next segment.
How about that? We're going to bring all the secrets to coming back, which I've got my notes ready because I am pathetic. I'll admit it. I mean, I'm going to play. I've got a game this afternoon with my family, and I tee off at the same time tees as my daughters do now. You know why, Bill?
Tee it forward, Charlie. It's
no,
a great
they
idea.
They can hit it as far as I can hit
if
it.
If not
now.
Longer, I bet.
Mimi can also hit it. Okay, we're going to be right back. We're going to break. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. It's brought to you by Insperity on Yahoo Sports Radio Network. We're going to come right back, David, and talk about how to make a comeback in the game of golf.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, live from Houston, Texas. John is on vacation. We are with Bill Harmon in studio talking golf, getting all of his knowledge as he has acquired over a lifetime of being with the best golfers, not only off the golf course, but on the golf course, caddying for the likes of Jay Haas, Curtis Strange, winners of all different types of tournaments. And prior to the break, we were talking about players that make comebacks. And we know we're waiting for one great player to make a comeback, and we all want him to come back. And Tiger Woods has had all sorts of different types of setbacks, but now he, and listening to him talk, he wants to come back. He misses being the number one golfer in the world, wouldn't you say, Bill?
Oh, God, I think he's got to be killing him, you know, to have your body go out like it's gone out on him. You know, you asked earlier, I was talking about Jay Haas had, when he was 46 years old, I think he finished 140th on the money list. And he'd never finished out of the top 125 in his life. He'd never gone back to the tour school in his life. He's gone to one. He's gone to two tour schools, one that he played in and one that he watched his son play in. And he said, I don't ever want to go back. But after that bad year, he went home and he said he took out a piece of paper and he wanted to write down what he would do if he wasn't a pro golfer. And he couldn't come up with anything. He wanted to be a pro golfer. And so he had to figure out, how do I get back? And in Jay's mind, there are no secret bullets to this. That you go back to solid fundamentals, Charlie. So what he did was, he says, I went out to my club where I live, and I gave myself a 3-foot putt straight in. See if I could make a 3-footer again. Then I gave myself 6-footers. Then I gave myself the easiest chip shot I could hit. Easiest bunker shot I could hit. And I built myself up from the ground up, not trying to go from a poor player to a great player with one swing thought. Just go back to solid fundamentals. Then can I get an iron shot on the green? Not stiff. Can I get a driver in the fairway? Not the best drive I've ever hit. In the middle of the next year, he said he had the most important stretch of golf he ever had in his career. In a 10-week stretch, he finished in the top 25 9 times. But he said, I was a tour player again. I could walk on the range, drop my balls down, and I felt like I was a tour player. But I think what he was getting at is you can't expect to go from a slump to winning the next week. That you have to rebuild yourself, you have to rebuild your confidence step by step as a puzzle. And at age 49, he made the President's Cup team, and at age 50, he made the Ryder Cup team.
Made it. He won the.
And at age 47, he thought his career was over. And he simply built himself back up by going back to solid, decent fundamentals, didn't look for any kind of secret answer. He and I would confer to things, didn't go to the teacher du jour at the time to give them the answer. He just looked at himself internally and said, this is what I have to do to get better. Then if I give my best shot and I don't make it, well, then maybe it's time. Maybe my time is up. I'm too old. But it has turned out his time wasn't up, you see. So a lot of times we're looking for the quick fix in golf, and there is no quick fix. You got to go back to, how do you hold on to the club? You know how to hold on to the club. You know how to set up. Do you know how to aim? Do you know how to just to do some basic things? And I think the ones when – like, in a way, you're looking for the quick fix for the shot yesterday because it just shocked the heck out of you, basically.
Yes, it did.
But the bottom line is, if you went to the range and said, okay, what happened on that swing? Well, you probably didn't complete your backswing, and then you rushed the downswing. You might say, well, I might have to get the club back better or something different. But you'd go back probably to a basic fundamental. It wouldn't be any kind of secret pill that's going to do it.
So he didn't change his swing?
No.
He didn't change his putting stroke?
He did not.
He just made it easier on himself mentally to practice.
He just started putting the pieces of puzzles back together and just tried to practice functional stuff and to build himself up slowly. And as his confidence grew, then he set higher standards and higher goals. So, but can Tiger do that? Because Tiger's never liked finishing second, more or less 25th, because obviously Tiger's 100 times the player Jay was. But the emotion is the same. once you lose your confidence and you lose your game, Tiger and Jay are basically the same at this point. Rory, Seve Ballesteros said to me one time, when a great player loses his nerve, he becomes ordinary. Think about that. When you lose your nerve, golf, Tiger's played ordinary golf for him because he doesn't know where the ball's going. And if you don't know where the ball's going, you know, your nerves aren't good. I don't care what you say.
Just like yesterday, I knew that ball wasn't going to get over
and
the water.
And when he started yipping those chips, you see, that's nerves. He went beyond ordinary, you know, there for a couple of weeks. It all says that he's human. I also think it's a testament to how great he was and how great he and Jack Nicklaus were. You can take all these kids, you can say whatever you want. They're not as good as Jack and Tiger. They're just not. And a lot of people that have only grown up in the Tiger era never saw Jack Nicklaus play, and that's why they think Tiger's so much better than Jack.
Right.
But I think there was a reason Tiger put all of Jack's records on his wall at home as a kid, because Jack was the best player that ever lived, and he still may be. You know, we can have that argument, and certainly Tiger deserves to be in that. And you can make the case that Tiger's 15 years was the best 15 years ever played.
Well, he's the best player under 40.
Without question.
But now his body of work is not going to look like it's going to last as long as Jack's did.
10 years ago, Gary Player was at Muirfield accepting Bobby Locke's introduction into Jack's memorial event. And I asked him, is Tiger the best player you've ever seen? I think Tiger was about 30 then. He said he's the best 30-year-old player I've ever seen. He said, but Jack's records are already books. Jack had to go through his parents dying, injuries, family problems. All of these things, we don't know what's going to happen to Tiger when his father dies or if he has family issues or health issues. What he said was Jack's numbers are already recorded. Tiger's haven't been recorded yet, and Gary turned out to be quite prophetic because shortly thereafter, Tiger had some of his own personal issues, which everybody has.
Right.
Health issues, father died. All the things that Gary mentioned happened to Tiger, and what's happened? It stalled his career.
Yeah, yeah. So then we get to a guy like Stricker. Stricker is a younger, different type of person. He was a good player, but he wasn't a Tiger Woods. And then he lost it in he came back.
When I was in South Korea as one of Jay Haas's little assistants, Steve was a vice captain, and I rode in a cart with him one day on a practice run, and I asked him how he got it back. And you know what? It was so similar to what Jay did. He said, I went back to basics. You know, I kind of looked at my swing and decided I needed to change some things in my swing. I kind of settled on this swing where I always kept the club in front of me, which kept him kind of from hinging his wrist, and he developed his own style. But I think what happened is, Charlie, he kind of did it himself, so he owned it. I think his father-in-law helped him a little bit. It's kind of the way
Dennis
I helped
Tiziana.
Jay. It's kind of the way I helped Jay. I'm a set of eyes for him. I've never really changed anything in Jay or Bill Haas's swing. But I think guys like Steve, Verplank that's come back, Jay, they took ownership. They didn't contract it up to the teacher du jour and this guy and a short game guru and, you know, seven other guys on how to do this. And I think they just kind of pulled up their bootstraps and spit in their hands and rubbed their hands together and said, I just got to get it done. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. Even you and I are teachers.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have students that depend upon us. But if we're doing our job properly, they shouldn't depend on us as much. At least that's my feeling.
That is Bill Harmon. I am Charlie Epps. We are live from Houston, Texas, Yahoo Sports Radio, in the Gal Communications with David, our producer. David, is it okay if I sign off if we go to break? You got your Texas hat on. So y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back, and we'll talk a little more golf with Bill Harmon and Charlie Epps.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
One more segment. This is Charlie Epps. John is on vacation with his beautiful wife, Wendy. He'll be back in a couple of weeks, and Billy's happy about that. But Billy Harmon is with us in studio talking golf. We've talked about comebacks. We've talked about many things. But the interesting thing today is that the number one player in the world, Jason Day, and he likes that mantra, his coach and his caddy and his mentor are one and the same. Now, is this too much of an advantage? Aren't they going to have to make a rule that your coach can't caddy for you?
Well, I'll tell you what, Charlie. I caddied for Jay Haas, and I was still a set of eyes for Jay and Bill Haas, and I've caddied for both of them. I think it's the best thing a coach can do is caddy for your player, because you're going to find out that 95% of the stuff that you work on, he'll never think about on the back nine on Sunday. But what I want to say about Cole Swatton is, you know, we have all these best teachers lists, and Cole is teaching the best player in the world at the moment. Not only has he been his teacher, he's been a father figure to him since he was a child. Why is his name not thrown around as being one of the best teachers in golf? We have all these names of guys that occasionally teach a tour pro, and the tour pro wins a couple tournaments, and now this guy's the best teacher in the world. Charlie, you and I were talking before the show started that you are a better teacher today than you were when Angel won the Open and the Masters. But he's not playing as well as he used to. But you have more knowledge. You have more experience. But yet as a teacher, even though you're better, because you're a good teacher and because you care, you question everything that you say and do because, you know, you can't push the right button. That's what we do as instructors. That's why I'm always a little bit leery if I'm working with a guy and he's playing good and you're getting a lot of credit. Does that mean I get to take all the blame when they miss two cuts in a row? I say I do have to take the blame,
sure,
personally. But I think Cole doesn't get enough credit in the teaching community because he's not viewed as a teacher. He's viewed as his caddy. The fact of the matter is he's the teacher of the best player in the world right now, and mm-hmm. his name has to start to get mentioned on a list as teachers,
yes.
In my opinion,
yeah.
As a instructor. He needs to get his due credit. There's a lot of people getting out credit out there that can't teach as good as Cole. Mm-hmm. I've never taught a number one player in the world, right. And you haven't. Mm-hmm. This guy has, so yeah. He must be pretty darn good.
You know, and I follow that up with saying is that the U.S. Open was the last tournament I'm going to travel with Angel Cabrera.
Uh-huh.
For a couple of different reasons, but I, as a teacher, as a coach, knew that the last year and a half hasn't been easy on my player and myself.
Sure.
So he needs a set of new eyes. He needs maybe a little different.
Absolutely.
And I had gotten stale. I kept doubting. The thing as a teacher is what I'm going to tell him going to help him. And so I couldn't convince myself that I had something that could help him get through what he was doing. So hopefully, you know, Angel will, you know, he can do it himself. I mean, he's a good player.
You know, we see that in a lot of sports. The Indiana Pacers had a great coach in Frank Vogel.
Right.
And Larry Bird, who's been player and coach and general right. manager, sung the praises of Frank Vogel.
Right.
He said, but the players need a different voice.
Yeah.
It's probably isn't the right thing for me to do. And it's not a knock against Frank, but we get tired of teachers saying the same thing, and the
yeah.
player really gets tired of
yeah.
hearing it. But then if we say something different, the player says, well, what do you mean? Was what yeah. you told me last week wrong?
See, that's what Angel would.
And so what happens when you're with a player all the time, it's very, very difficult, I think, to be someone's coach for 10 years.
I've just learned that.
Because you find yourself, I better make something up just to get him stimulated because
yeah.
he's tired of me telling him he's taking it back too far inside.
Right.
He's just sick of hearing it.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
sick of saying it. So this player-coach thing, I think, is a much more sensitive issue than most people realize. And it's much, much harder to do. Everyone says, well, anybody could teach Tiger Woods. Well, they can't.
No.
They can't teach. Not anybody could teach Tiger
no.
Woods. Not anybody could teach Jay Haas or whoever because
right.
it goes so much more into swing theory and the way you swing it. There's so much more to it. The key is where are you when the you know what hits the fan.
That's right. So if anybody listening wants to come and take a lesson from me,
You're available, huh?
I'm available. I am now teaching out at the Golf Club of Houston for the Mike McGuntry Golf Academy.
Good for you.
My email is cep68@att.net. And Billy is correct. I do consider myself a better teacher today than I was yesterday. And I look forward to teaching. I really do, the first time in my life that I really – not the first time, but I really feel equipped. So we're going to have some fun out at the golf.
You know, the other thing, Charlie, is what you're going to find is real teachers teach the amateurs. The real teachers don't teach the pros. They teach our listeners. And the joy of bringing an 18 handicap to a 12 handicap is lost in this day and age of teachers getting too much credit for teaching tour players. There's hundreds of teachers at clubs in America that are wonderful teachers taking 36 handicappers to 20.
Yep.
That's the real art of teaching, in my opinion, and I don't think those teachers get enough credit. I get a lot of credit because of my last name, to be honest with you. 99% of my time, I'm teaching amateur golfers. I'm not teaching tour pros. I make my living teaching amateur golfers, and I take more pride in getting an 18 to a 12. Well, it's not quite the same as a player winning a tour event, but almost.
Or the Masters. No,
yeah, that's true.
But, you know, here in a very short time, Bill, with what you're going through and so on and so forth, we're going to have you back in Houston. We're going to have a Harmon Experience Golf School.
Beautiful.
With you and Craig.
I'm all in.
And hopefully we're going to be here next week on the Charlie F's Golf Hour. We're going to sign off right now. Y'all have a great week. Bye-bye.